Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Well, you can take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 27. I have 6 minutes to bring you a message today. Guest, I have no idea why they're laughing right now, but just hold on for a second. You know, this is the third of four messages that I've been speaking about the cross. We've looked at the Gospel of Mark. Last week we looked at Psalm 22, a pronouncement of the cross, a prophetic voice of the cross. And today I want to simply over literally just a few minutes talk about the cross from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27 and do it in light of those standing before the cross. I think the cross means so much to me because I remember the night that I trusted Christ as my Savior. It was an early August Thursday evening of 1977. And I was in Ashboro, North Carolina, at Camp Caraway, at RA Camp. And on Thursday night, they would have a bonfire, and someone would speak a message, and then a gospel invitation would be given. And I remember sitting there by the lake, and there was the bonfire, and the bonfire was what was putting off the light. But I don't remember a lot of the message that was shared that night. But here's what I do remember. I do remember the fact that when you would look at the fire, which the light you're naturally drawn to, when you would look at the fire, between where we were sitting and where the fire was a large wooden cross. So when you saw the fire, you literally saw the outline of the cross in front of you. And it was there, gazing upon the cross, remembering and understanding what Christ had done. For the first time, I understood that Christ not only came to die for my grandparents and my parents, but he'd come to give his life for me. And for the first time, I understood that I had to place my faith in Christ. The Spirit of God was drawing me unto himself, but I had to place my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. I remember gazing upon the cross, standing before the cross, understanding what God had done for me. In light of that, I want to read a passage and literally just a few moments. Look at those standing before the cross. And I want to challenge us as we look toward the cross, as over the next 2 weeks, you'll probably hear a lot about the cross, but to check our hearts, to check our relationship, and to see ourselves standing before the cross. I'm going to start in verse 32 of Matthew chapter 27. Now, as they came out, this would be certainly Jesus, who had already been scourged, who had been beaten, who had been mocked. The Roman soldiers, perhaps the Jewish leaders and others. As they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon, or your Bible may say Simeon by name, and they compelled him to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. And we read this last week. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." When two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right, the other on the left, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priest, also mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. You know, there were really three different groups that were standing before the cross that day. I want to look at them briefly and really challenge ourselves to look at how often we treat Christ and respond to Christ in light of what he has done for us. The first group were those standing in rebellion against God. It says there were Roman soldiers who took him out and they crucified him. They had scourged him. And you say, Pastor, well, they were just doing what they had been commanded. No, they were doing so much more. They were commanded to scourge him and crucify him. They were never commanded to ridicule him. They were never commanded to put a cloth of purple around him and mock him. They were never commanded to take a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. They were never commanded to take a reed and pretend it was a scepter and beat him about the head. No, because he had said, I am the Son of God, there were those in rebellion against God who gathered there to crucify him. You say, well, Pastor, I thought you wanted us to see ourselves and check ourselves. Surely we would never be in rebellion against God. Oh, yes, we can be in rebellion against God. And I can be in rebellion against God. I'm not just saying you. I'm saying we can be in rebellion against God. You say, well, how is that? Well, it's Jesus who said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I ask you to do? When we know what God expects of us, when we know what God desires for us to do, and we choose not to do it, when we know what God would not have us do, and we choose to do it, we are in rebellion against God. So as we see those who were standing there mocking him, let's search our own lives. Let's make sure that we are seeking to live our lives as he would have us live our lives, not in rebellion against his word. I don't know how many times I've heard this in 20 years. I've heard, Pastor, I know what the Word of God says, but I'm going to do this. Just 2 weeks ago in my office, a young man who said, I know what the Word of God says, but I don't care. And he walked away. We need to be very careful that we examine our heart and we just don't point to those people, but we look in our own life and say, God, forgive me when I am in rebellion against you. The second group there were those who I would say they are fickle toward God. It says in verse 39, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who would destroy the temple in 3 days. Then he would say he can't even save himself. John MacArthur says that it's very probable that some of those who had gathered there, who had watched the crucifixion, who were crying out perhaps even to crucify him, they were the same ones that had gathered just on Palm Sunday, just a few days before, and they had cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. They were proclaiming him king. Now, what happened between Sunday and on Friday? Well, what we need to understand is that many of those in Jerusalem, they were not looking for a suffering servant. They were not looking for one who would give his life for them. They simply wanted to see Israel return to the glory when David was the king. They were tired of being subject to Rome. They were tired of being under Rome's authority. And when they saw the one who had the miracles, who had the power to feed the multitudes, who had the power to calm the sea, who had the power to even raise the dead, they knew he also had the power to drive the Romans out. And that's all they were looking for. They were looking for something that would make their life better in that day, not one who had come to give their life. So when he was beaten, when he was scourged, and they knew he had not come to be like David would be, they turned on him and they said, "Crucify him." You say, "Pastor, I would never do that. I would never be fickle toward God." Well, I tell you, your pastor can be. I can be. I know so often that when things are right, when things are good, when it seems like there's no pain, there's no suffering, it's so easy to praise the Lord. It's so easy to sing out praises, to serve Him. But so often I see when adversity comes into a life, when pain comes into a life, that's when a person will say, "Well, I'm no longer going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to walk with the Lord. I'm not going to teach. I'm not going to do other things. I'm not even going to show up," because suffering has come into their life. They're fickle toward God. Or even sometimes it's the opposite. Is we cry out to God when we need Him, when we are suffering. But when things are good, we think we've done it on our own and we don't think we need the Lord anymore. We have to be very careful that we're not just like those that were there. We're using God to make our lives better today. But only if it's better today will we serve Him. You know, the third group standing there, take just a moment here. I think as a pastor, my heart is broken the most here. And the third group, I said, were those standing before the cross, trusting in religion over a relationship with Christ. Look, if you would, in verse 41. "Likewise, the chief priest also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others. Himself he cannot save.'" Don't overlook the fact that they gave him credit. He saved others. Then look what it said. "He trusted in God. Let him deliver him if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In verse 42, said, "If he'll come down on the cross, we'll believe him." No, they wouldn't. They already said he had saved others. They knew of his testimony. Even if he would have come down from the cross, they would have found a way to explain it away, and they would not have believed him because they were blinded. The religious leaders were trusting in the law. They were trusting in religion. They were trusting in even traditions that had been passed down. They weren't trusting in the one that was crucified before them that had said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." But they thought the law, the one thing that would damn them, they thought it could save them if they would live a life that was acceptable, but they couldn't. They couldn't live that life. You say, "Pastor, how in the world could we today be trusting in religion over a relationship?" Do you see that today? I've seen it in every church I've ever served. Let me tell you how we can trust in a religion over a relationship. It's the person that when I would say to them, "Hey, have you trusted Christ as your Savior?" And sometimes I'll get something like this. Well, when I was a young person, I went through a confirmation. When I was a young person, I was encouraged to walk an aisle, and I walked an aisle, and the pastor had me say a prayer. And they understand, they really didn't understand that prayer, nor did they mean that prayer. But that is what they hold on to as the thing that will save them. But they know they've never surrendered their life to Christ. You know, several years ago, I was in a hospital making a visit and was there, and a number of our church members were around a family there. I looked over in a corner, and there was a lady who was seated by herself, and something told me just to go over and pray with her. And I walked over. I said, can I pray with you? And she said, "Yes, but before you do, I've got to tell you, you got to pray for my dad. My dad's in surgery right now, and we don't think my father's going to live, but please pray that he lives. For many years, I've witnessed to him about Jesus Christ. And what he's always said to me is, 'Honey, I believe in God, but I don't believe that God is Jesus.'" And she would beg with her father, and here's what he would say to her: Listen, don't worry about me, honey. I'm all right with God. But yet she knew here was one trusting in religion over a relationship with Christ. I would just beg you today, as we begin to go into a time of invitation, I would just ask you to examine your heart. Can we be the one that rebels against God? Oh, yes, we can. Can we be the one fickle toward God? Oh, yes, we can. But I want to just earnestly call out to the one today. You have trusted in something you've done in the past, not something Christ has done for you. You're trusting in a prayer or walking an aisle, but yet you know you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You've never trusted Him. You've never run to the cross. And I would just simply implore you today, run to the cross. Because God is working in your heart. He has you here to hear this. I'm not going to beg you to come. I'm not going to extend a time that just goes on and on again. But you know if God is working in your heart. And I would just simply beg you today, as you stand before the cross, what are you trusting in? Where are you placing your salvation? Is it in something that you have done? Or is it simply because you've surrendered your life to Christ and you've experienced His grace and you've experienced His forgiveness and you know that He is the only hope that you have?
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.